What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Harrison Vaughn, and on today's episode, we are joined once again by Mr. Jonathan Grimes for a little recap, review, and setup for the upcoming deer season, which opens less than 3 weeks from today. So we are stoked for this one to go over what data we've been acquiring over the past couple weeks, talk a little bit about our last minute preparations, and just enjoy a wonderful conversation. So stick with us, stay tuned, it's going to be an exciting one. All right, everybody, once again, like I said a second ago, welcome back to the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast, and as I already said in our introduction, please welcome back to the show, Mr. Jonathan Grimes. Jonathan, how we doing?
Harrison, doing good, man. How about you?
Oh, doing fan-freaking-tastic. Doing fantastic. So kind of today's episode, just kind of how it was the other week, you know, we're going to be talking about some of our recent escapades into the whitetail woods, what we've been doing, what we've been preparing for, and then kind of giving a little recap about what we've been seeing and some very exciting news from my end and some confirmations that we've gotten over the past couple of days.
Oh yeah, man, I'll tell you what, last podcast I was on, we did a lot of talking about me for my last season. I know I had a good one, but man, yours is really lining up to be a spectacular one. Golly, the deer you got showing up, they seem to be doing a lot better moving around than the ones I got. I'm at, you know, my spot, and then got four different spots set up right now, and you know, things are pretty slow. I'm getting a lot of deer, but not a lot of big shooter bucks, so gonna see how it pans out.
Well, brother, I tell you, you know, after last year, you know, getting the deer that I had on camera, which were great deer, but very sporadic, and you know, kind of you know, hoping that what I was doing was the right thing, and all the preparations I've done, and then the prep work that I've put into it this past year, just already seeing how it's panning out is really exciting to see. On one hand, and I know, you know, kind of our big news that I was talking about a little bit ago, you know, Big Earl, who we mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and one that I've talked about briefly on different episodes, you know, was my number one target deer last year on the property as a 4.5-year-old. So he was a 4.5-year-old last year, which would make him 5.5 now, and he was one of my most consistent bucks. He was my only consistent 4.5-year-old or older buck. And yeah, you know, I hunted him hard. I got, you know, plenty of trail camera pictures of him, mostly right after shooting light or right before. And then a handful of pictures throughout the day. And then the one encounter I had of him bow hunting in November out at about 65 yards, couldn't get a shot at him. You know, just kind of hoping and really, really praying that he not only made it through hunting season, but that he'd come back this year that we're in now. And, you know, getting pictures of him in January and knowing that he had made it through gun season, that he was out of the woods in terms of hunting pressure goes, but then just kind of keeping the fingers crossed that he shows up. Well, kind of like we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, I had some pictures of a deer in June and the early part of July that I thought was Earl, and I thought it was Earl running with a deer that I had on camera last year as well, that I called the White 8, who was an 8-point last year, a 3.5-year-old 8-point last year, and I thought it was Earl and the White 8, but I just wasn't sure because, you know, those velvet deer in late June, early July, it's just hard to tell because the antlers look so different. But this past week on Friday night, I get a whole bunch of trail camera pictures start popping up in the last hour of daylight, and had both Earl and the White 8 on camera at the same time, confirmed running together. I went back and looked through pictures from last season of both deer, and you know, confirmed that it was definitely that it was definitely them. And then also have pictures now coming up of a deer that I called him Tall Boy last year. He was another 4.5 year old deer that I only had a handful of pictures of in October, and he's back and has been on camera every single night for the past week and a half, which is really exciting. And then actually last night just had a brand spanking new deer show up that I haven't had on camera all summer. But after spending a couple of hours today going through old trail camera pictures from last year, I realized that it was a deer that showed up at the end of November. And I had on camera for about 2 days chasing does and then disappeared. Completely disappeared. But it's 100% him. So right now on camera, on the property, just in the past 2 days, we've gotten pictures of four returning deer that are 4.5 or older, which is thrilling to see.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I kind of like you said earlier, it's really hard to tell by trail camera pictures on what size deer are or which deer are. But man, whenever you showed me these pictures of the, you know, big Earl or the big eight or these different bucks, I immediately recognized them. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen them before. You know, I've gotten those pictures from you. And there's without a doubt that's the deer that you're looking for. I think you got a heck of a lineup this year, man. You've got, you know, between Big Earl, who I think would definitely be number one on the hit list, you've got your Big Eight. Have you come up with a name for him yet?
Yeah, so he's the White Eight from last year, and I named him prematurely. So I named him the White Eight after about two trail camera pictures of him from the side, and I thought he looked like he had a wide rack on him. And then as pictures started coming in, I realized that he was actually just a tall and not narrow eight, but just a standard eight with a pretty tall rack going vertically. And I just never renamed him. So he's the wide eight, but he's not really wide. He's more like the tall eight. But I already had Tall Boy on there. And I named him because of the way his antlers go. And I mean, I think you know which deer I'm talking about just based on the pictures I've sent you. The rack doesn't quite swoop around. It almost goes sort of vertical and around. It's just very, very tall. The main beam kind of extends upward, not just out.
Yep. Exactly which one you're talking about. I actually believe you sent me that one today.
I did. Yeah. He showed up. He showed up over the past 2 days as well, and I'm stoked to have them all on camera. I'm actually getting pictures coming in right now. If anybody hears my phone beeping, there's trail camera pictures coming in right now, which as of 15 minutes ago was still pictures of Tall Boy eating tonight. But hopefully, you know, we're what, right at 3 weeks out, something like that.
Yep.
3 weeks. Yep. 3 weeks. Man,
we're crazy close, and it's a really cool feeling. I'm sure you have right now of seeing these big deer that you got on camera. One, knowing that it's not June, it's getting to August. So if they stick around just a little longer, you'll actually have a shot at them. And two, these are deer that you've watched over the past, you know, couple months or a couple years or several years, and so you know that these deer are kind of here to stay. They're still, you know, very smart. They're getting smarter by the year, so they're hard to hunt, but you know it's not just, you know, kind of the old school way of your buddy sends you a picture of some monster buck and you know that deer's just passing through, you know that you'll never see him again. You're like, oh man, that's cool, you know, but you're never going to get a realistic shot at that buck because you get one trail camera picture of him and then never see him again. But these deer, you've seen time after time, year after year, which is huge. Right. So that's you a huge advantage that these bucks, you know, where you're seeing them right now, I think is really their home. That's their territory. So Man, you're shaping up for a really good season.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, I know obviously they'll be. I mean, we can tell just based on the pictures we're getting right now and the intel from the antlers. The antlers are definitely getting thinner. They're dehydrating. The velvet is, and I mean, these deer in the next 3 weeks will be shedding that velvet off. And as we know, once that velvet comes off, it's a whole new ball game. And oftentimes, guys will have deer completely vanish once they get that velvet off. Now, my hope is that because I know that these deer seasoned on my property last year, so they were present throughout October, November, December, and even to January for a handful of them. Because I know that they were there in season after shedding velvet, I am hopeful that because of some of the spring food plots that I've put in and the food that's been present on the property, that these deer have just summered on the property, and I'm hoping that they're going to stick around. Obviously, you know, you never know deer in the rut. Once November hits, it's just an absolute free for all, and you can have deer that'll live on a property 1 year in November and then be gone the next. So once November hits, it's every man for himself when it comes to the rut game. But you know, for the months of September and October, I'm really hopeful that once the velvet comes off of these deer, that those bachelor groups are at least going to stick together long enough to give us, you know, 3-4 weeks of huntable patterns to kind of keep watching these deer on that we've seen for the past couple of weeks. You know, again, it's kind of like you said, it's definitely exciting to know that we're 3 weeks out and it's not June and these deer are still here. But on the same note, it's starting to get to me as far as a little nervousness goes, because of the fact that I know these deer are there right now and I just need them there for 3 more weeks.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like, you know, I think your average Joe would think that 3 weeks is nothing, but whenever you're talking about big bucks staying in a particular area,
yep,
3 weeks is a long time.
It's an eternity.
You know, a prayer that you're sending out. But, you know, like I said earlier, you've got kind of a different situation where these are the deer that you've seen stick it out through the whole season time and after time. So if their pattern stays, like, it seems like it already is starting up again, and they'll be on track to kind of stick around for the season. But, man, it's hard to keep deer in an area, especially them bigger bucks. And looks like Big Earl is, you know, he's gone from being a big, good deer to really a great shooter buck.
And
to be able to get him within bow range is going to be tough. I'm sure he's gotten a lot smarter since he's, you know, pretty close to doubled in size, it looks like.
He blew up, that is for sure.
Yes, he blew up, man. I think he got on a big workout routine during the off. Maybe planning on getting shot and being able to just take the bullet or something.
I guess.
Huge.
He got big. I mean, he kept the same traits, the same characteristic. I mean, it's definitely the same basic rack as he had last year. He's added a kicker on his right side, but the big bladed G2s are the exact same, and the kind of offset brow tine pattern he had last year is the same. And it's just, I mean, it's super, super exciting to have him back on camera. It's just, it's crazy because in terms of the deer that I've consistently hunted over the past handful of years, I mean, I've never had a deer that I've been actively pursuing that is as big as he is. I mean, he's every bit, I think, in the 140s. I think he's every bit in the 140s as a mainframe 8 with the kicker on that right side. That I can't tell from the pictures if it's just an extra tine or if it's an actual kicker. It's hard to say from the pictures, but I mean, he's just a big mainframe 8, and I think he sits, if the mass holds through the velvet shedding, which I think it will based on the way it looks, I think he sits every bit in the mid to upper 140s.
Yep, I completely agree. I think mid to upper 140s may even be a little bit conservative. I think he may be pushing into the 150 mark with him. Golly, he's just such a great buck.
He's clean. He's clean.
Now, what's your plan as far as if you have him out eating? I guess listeners who are planning on bow hunting could kind of relate to this a little bit, especially us southern hunters hunting here in North Carolina with our weather. What's your plan whenever it's, you know, September day where it's 92 degrees and you have this buck coming out? What's your plan on trying to hold in your scent? Because it's almost going to be like the second you step out of your truck, you're sweating.
It's
so go climbing up in a stand, drudging through the woods. It's going to be extremely difficult to stay scent free. I guess my question is, what's your plan with that? If you have him on a good pattern, you feel like the time is right to go after him, and it's, you look at the forecast and it's good wind, but it's, you know, mid-90s. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
So, you know, I think, and this is something I've been processing, just looking at the extended forecast into opening day, and, you know, my goal would obviously be that he's in there consistently, or one of the four shooter deer. There's three primary shooters that I've got on the property that are 4.5 or 5.5, and then there's 1 4.5-year-old that is just a neat deer. He's not a high scorer by any means, but he's a neat deer. So I would definitely group him into the shooter category. But in terms of an opening day, you know, I'm going to go out there and get after it. I would say there's three deer that I've got marked, and that's this buck that I had on camera last season that just came back this past week and has been really consistent. I can't remember what I named him. I'll have to go back and look at my folder to see what I named this deer off of the handful of pictures I got of him last year. But there's him. There is obviously the wide eight, and then there's Big Earl, which definitely caps off the hit list. But, you know, I think that in order for me to get in there to this specific food plot, and the food plot I'm talking about is the top plot on this specific property. I've talked about it before on different podcasts, but it's the top plot that they're all coming out in. All of these shooter deer on this property are consistent in this one plot. And I think that in order for me to go in there and actually hunt on opening day or in this early part of the season, it's number one going to have to be based off of some consistent patterns from these deer. They're going to have to be showing themselves, you know, in daylight. I'm going to have to feel confident that there's a high likelihood that these deer will daylight on this given day. That's one. Number two is it has to be a good wind. It's got to be a good one. I can't hunt this specific plot off of anything other than an east or a northeast wind, because if it's anything other than that, it's going to be blowing out a bedding area or it's going to be blowing out the plot itself. And one thing that got me excited today was I had pictures of one of my shooter deer this evening in daylight on a dead east wind. I got the picture. I went back and I checked on X, checked our weather forecast, and I saw that it was a dead east wind at this specific spot, and that would have been a perfect wind to hunt him on. He never would have winded me. He's bedding on the far side of the food plot, and the wind would be just absolutely perfect, and he daylighted in that wind, which is very, very exciting to see, but it's going to have to be a perfect northeast or a dead east wind. I can't have any swirling. I can't have any sort of changing wind direction, because I just feel like with the temperatures being what they're forecasted to be for the next couple of weeks, if I'm going to go in there, it's going to have to be a perfect wind. And, you know, there's no amount of scent preparation or control that can be done to, you know, minimize the human odor that's just coming off of the body on an 86 to 92 degree day. So we're going to have some sort of consistent, you know, a consistent belief, or at least an assumption in my mind that one of these deer is going to daylight, number one. Number two, it's going to have to be a perfect east or northeast wind. And then number three, it's got to be below I'd say it's got to be below 95. If it breaks, really, if it breaks about 92 degrees, even if I've got consistent movement on these deer, I'm not even going to go out there. Because with deer of this caliber, I would not want to push it. And I would not want to go out and try to track a deer before I was confident that it was had been given enough time. And with temperatures above 92, I would be concerned that by leaving it for the amount of time I would want to leave it for, just to make sure that deer was humanely killed and that I was not going to bump him, I feel like there's a chance you're going to have meat start to spoil. And yeah. I just don't think it's worth it at that point. I think if it's below 92, I'm absolutely pushing it on a right wind and on some sort of consistent belief that they're going to come in there. But otherwise, if it's above 92, I don't think I'm going to push it for risk of losing meat if I were to even get a shot at one of these deer. So I think those are kind of my biggest keys going into opening day with what I've got going on. And then aside from that, I mean, obviously it's got to be, we got to have at least, you know, good enough weather. I don't want to get out there in a downpour or stuff like that. But I think my biggest keys for it is it's got to be a perfect win, because with the movement I've been getting the past couple of weeks, and with the movement that I'm expecting and not expecting, but the movement that I'm hoping to get over the next 2 months in September and October, I'm not going to throw a Hail Mary and go push it on opening day or even in the first week or two of the season. I'm not going to do it unless I just feel like it is 100% necessary. And I don't feel like it is right now. So I think those are kind of my big keys for what I am hoping for and what I'm planning for as far as opening day and our first couple of weeks of the season go when it comes to these three heavy hitters on the hit list.
Yeah, man, I think we've got a long season coming up, and being able to take our time on stuff because of this weather that we're having, it just seems to get hotter and hotter by the season. So you and your particular position, you've got a good chance, because these bucks are kind of hanging out for full seasons. And
it's definitely a core area.
Yeah, it'll be really nice knowing that these bucks that you're chasing after, you can really take your time with, because chances are if they copy what they did last year, they'll still be around in October, November, and even December.
Yep.
So I've kind of had the same thought process too, thinking about what I'm going to do on these really hot days where I'm itching to go, because I've been waiting almost a year for this.
Right.
I've got, you know, good deer on camera. It's going to be really hard if I get a monster on camera. It's going to be hard to pass up. But, man, it's really tough whenever you get out in that blazing heat and you're just swarmed by mosquitoes, you're sweating, you're so distracted by the heat that you don't even really get to focus on the hunt.
Right.
And it can really mess up a lot of stuff. And, you know, that wind gets swirling even a little bit. And your nasty, sweaty scent has just gone shooting in the direction of the deer that's on his way out to you. So then next thing you know, you've kind of lost your shot at it. So I think you're really wise there to kind of have a temperature in which you're able to say, nope, too hot.
Yep.
You know, be able to walk away from it and just hold out till the next hunt.
And I'll say, you know, one thing that I've been keeping an eye on, and again, we're talking extended forecasts at this point because we're still 3 weeks out, but, you know, in North Carolina, it changes on a dime. One day it could be 95, and the next day it's snowing 5 or 6 inches, but, you know, you never know with North Carolina.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. We got so much crazy weather. I think this upcoming Friday, we've got it, it's going to be like 97 degrees, and then the next week it's going to be, you know, 80 degrees. You know, it just varies so much that even just waiting a little bit of time can really pay off, and then you get your good weather, and you got your buck still coming in, and then you can take advantage of that moment.
Yep, and I tell you one thing I am excited about with the extended forecast is it's showing, and I don't want to speak too soon, but it is showing a pretty heavy decline in temperature after the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
Wow.
Now, we're not talking in the 60s, but we're definitely talking, I mean, obviously from in the mid 90s or low 90s, upper 80s right now, to there being some highs in about 2.5-3 weeks that are in the mid to upper 70s, which is a phenomenal temperature swing for us.
Huge for us deer hunters, especially.
Oh my goodness! And you know, with just the way it's looking like we're gonna hopefully get that temperature swing. And one thing that I'm just keeping fingers crossed with right now is some rain. I need some rain here in the next week and a half for these food plots to get going really good. And you know, fortunately, fingers are staying crossed. I'm praying for rain. We've got some. Looks like in the forecast for this Saturday afternoon and evening and into Sunday, and then it looks like we're going to have 2 or 3 days, hopefully, at least of rain next week. So if we can get that, then we're sitting pretty good for opening day growth and getting these plants kind of off to the start they need for the fall. But you know, if we can get that temperature swing, I think we're in a pretty doggone good spot. Pretty good.
Now, I got a question for you. I know we kind of got a little tradition that we're starting where we do our opening day hunt out at where I hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Farm. Yeah. And, you know, me and you and whoever else would like to go and take their bow that we're close with, obviously. Uh-huh. If Big Earl's cruising around, what you going to do, man? You going to go after him?
I will say let me put it this way. If they are as consistent as they have been the past 5 days,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to hunt him.
Yep.
I'm going to have to. Now, if they're not the consistency level that I want, then I'm just not going to do it, and I'm going to uphold the tradition. But, you know, if let me put it this way. If I feel like there is a high likelihood that I will at least have an encounter, I'm gonna have to hunt him. But if it's below a high likelihood of an encounter, I'm gonna let it sit and I'll get after him the next week. I'll go one evening on a weekday and get back after him. But yeah, if it's gonna have to be a high likelihood for me to miss that opening day hunt, because that's one of the best times of the year. It's just it's a blast, and it's definitely become kind of a little tradition going on.
Absolutely, man. I'll tell you what, I really love going and hunting after my big deer and just the solo chase of a classic whitetail hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going with a buddy or a couple buddies, that really just changes the atmosphere. I think that's why me and you seem to be so drawn to duck hunting as well, is just the camaraderie. And
it is.
It's not a solo hunt. And so whenever you get to turn your favorite deer hunting into a group hunt, it makes it even more interesting.
Big time.
And so, yeah, man, we definitely got to get out there at least a couple times this season and do a couple group hunts.
Oh, most definitely. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick pause here for just a second.
Sure.
All right, we are back. Okay, so next little segment I want to dive into here with you. We've talked a lot about me and what I've had going on the past couple of weeks and what I've been seeing. What about you? What are you thinking right now? I know you and I went out, it was about 2 weeks ago, and we got 4 different spots, kind of checked out, got the cameras out, looked at some stands, cleared some shooting lanes. What have you kind of been seeing, and what's your intel been the past couple of weeks? What are your thoughts going into opening day for yourself?
Man, this has been a very strange kind of season opener for me as far as trail camera activity goes. I've got a couple of decent bucks coming around, you know, anywhere between your 70-inch little fellas to maybe a buck right around high 120s, maybe 130. But, man, it's just not really the activity that I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that things will change here shortly. Getting closer to the season, I've got a lot of high hopes, especially after last year, whenever I've seen several very large bucks get away.
Yeah.
And I was kind of counting on them coming back this season, and there's still plenty of time, so I still got hope. But But man, it's been like a zoo on my trail cameras. I've got I've got whole families of turkeys running around with whole families of does and fawns. I've got, you know, daylight, you know, multiple pictures of coyotes. I've got raccoons. I got just, if it's an animal that lives in North Carolina, it's probably been caught on my trail camera in the last week, and it's kind of driving me nuts. But I have hope. I know things can change really quick, and yeah. Right now the camera activity doesn't matter as much. It's nice right now to just kind of get an idea of what's out there, but it's not going to, you know, determine how my season goes right now. So I've got high hopes for it, but man, I'm hoping I get my own big Earl out there here shortly.
I have no doubt that you will.
I really hope so. In past years, I've kind of always seemed to have at least a couple good-sized bucks at least cruise through.
Yeah.
So I really think that'll happen again as long as I can kind of stay out of there. I'm having a couple issues with dogs, you know.
Yeah.
Just regular old dogs running through my spots, catching them on cameras. The landowner there, he's got a couple dogs, and they kind of roam around. So it's kind of an obstacle I have to put up with,
And
it is what it is. I'm not going to go out there and tell him to put his dog up because I don't own that land.
Right.
And a dog. So it's just, I guess, kind of contributes to the challenge, which can be a good thing. You know, if it were easy and you could just go out anywhere and kill a monster buck, I think it wouldn't be nearly as fun. So having a couple obstacles there is going to hopefully not be a problem for the rest of the season or even the beginning of the season. Hoping that's just a one or two time thing here. And hopefully these turkeys and these coyotes and raccoons will maybe phase out or kind of chill out a little bit, go find somewhere else to roam around, and I can really focus on my deer.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that these smaller bucks that I got are not the dominant bucks in the area. There's a good chance that they could be. You know, these younger bucks, just because a buck has the biggest rack and seems super big and badass does not mean that he's going to be dominating that area. You know, I think a lot of your younger bucks are probably more lean, more strong, younger, have more energy, and can kind of run over those bigger bucks and push them out of that area. So sometimes that's a concern for me, that I'm going to have an area that just has a lot of okay bucks, you know.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of time, so
I'm
really not overthinking it too much. I mean, like you said, we set all this up just a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
And gotten hundreds of pictures of deer already, so I'm in a lot better of a position than, you know, a lot of people are with their spot. So I'm really not too worried about it.
I wouldn't be, and I think especially with the history of the caliber of deer that this farm has produced, I think it's just a matter of time before they pop back up and then they're there again. I mean, because I think last year you obviously had a handful of deer that you were, you know, that were hands and feet above the rest, that you were 100% after. And I know you got two of them, but, you know, there were deer showing up on camera that you didn't really even pay a mind to because you were focused on these other three deer. But those deer were really high caliber deer for a lot of people. Definitely mature. Definitely, you know, big bodied, big healthy deer. And I think it's just a matter of time before one of these brutes that you've had on camera in the past, or maybe a new one, ventures onto the property and then makes it his home. And, you know, kind of like we said earlier, I think that there's a good chance that some of these deer you had consistently on camera last year are going to pop back up once that velvet comes off. And I think they're gonna be out there, and they're gonna stick with you for the next 3-4 months until we get out of the season.
Yeah, man, that's my hope. I like you said, I think there were a lot of bucks that came through that I wasn't really paying as much mind to. That I'm sure made it. I'm sure out of all the bucks I had running around, at least a handful of them have made it through to the next season. So it's also interesting how, you know, these bucks, just because set up cameras at the beginning of the season or they're not there, it really doesn't have anything to do with if they're going to show up later in the season. Because in my experience, you know, I've had them show up, you know, like December, right there at the end. I've had them show up in November, October, and, you know, every single month of the whole season. So I really don't think it's going to be anything that's going to last super long. If I have a dry spell through the beginning of bow season, I honestly wouldn't even be too upset because of how hot it is.
Right.
But, you know, come the rut or I think my main times for whenever I've killed deer and been the most successful is probably mid-October to mid-November.
Yeah.
I think right in that range tends to be my best times for hunting. So that's whenever, if I'm not having good bucks on camera, I'm going to start thinking something's up, getting a little discouraged. But right now, I think just maybe needs a little more time for deer to find the food and kind of start phasing in or phasing out, you know, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Just so my eyes on a couple of these bucks, try to get some patterns going, figure out their movements. Right now, I've got, seems like the same, probably 10 or 15 deer. Most of them are does, just in and out. I've got, like you said earlier, I've got four spots set up right now.
Yeah.
And they're kind of widespread across the farm. Some are close, but others are far from each other. And it seems like some of them just kind of run a little jogging route from spot to spot. It seems like sometimes I can get a picture of one that's, you know, getting food in one spot, and then I'll catch it on the next camera about 15 minutes later. It's over there eating. So I think they've kind of, the deer that are there and eating, they've kind of got my spots figured out. And that's good for them. That's good, some good eating. Maybe they'll grow a little bit. But, yeah, man, I'm really hoping that some stuff will kind of change here shortly.
Yeah.
Kind of get to a spot like you've got, honestly. It's almost, honestly, it's kind of seemed like we've traded spots. I feel like I had some really big bucks early season, and you had bucks, but they weren't exactly what you were looking for, but they were good bucks.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the position I'm in right now, is where I've got bucks out there, and I think if I were new to hunting, I'd be very excited about these bucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've kind of been around the block a little bit with hunting now. Nothing crazy, but I kind of got an idea of what I'm looking for and just the elusiveness I want to chase.
Yeah.
And just how difficult it is. I really like that difficult hunt. And mm-hmm. So I think the older and more mature a deer is, the more difficult that hunt is. So that's really what I'm aiming for. So I'm going to just kind of sit tight for now. And whenever something really good pops up, I'll go after it. But for now, it's looking like kind of bush league out there, so to speak.
Hey, man, it's, you know, it's going to happen for you. It definitely is. And, you know, we've seen it year after year with this specific piece and with other properties as well. I mean, it'll take time. And I really think that, I mean, again, we put cameras out a 8 days ago out there. I think within the next week, you're going to have one. I'm just waiting to get that text message of whatever hammer showed up on that specific day, and I think he'll be in there the rest of the season for you.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm hoping for. Every time I get a notification for my trail camera pictures, I'm still super excited, even though I kind of, in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's probably going to be the same deer that's been in here every day the last few days. But, you know, all it takes is one little day, and here comes a big old hammer. And
just that one.
Turn real quick.
That's all it takes, man. So I got one last question for you, but before we do the question, I want to give a brief disclaimer to everybody. So I know you and I use inches a lot, as in Boone and Crockett scoring system. We're talking about the antler size of the deer. You know, obviously when it comes to you and I, that is not our number one goal or our number one priority. And I don't want anybody listening to think that, you know, that is our number one goal or our priority, that we're all focused on the numbers and the score of these deer. But when we're, you know, relaying information, when we're talking, when we're comparing, when we're judging, just kind of looking at age and looking at deer and characteristics, especially over a digital platform like a podcast where, you know, we're obviously not able to show you a specific picture of a deer, inches and describing the score and the size of these deer and these estimates, that's the best way that Jonathan and I are able to share that information and to kind of describe what these deer are that we're seeing and we're looking at. But I don't want any of you listeners out there to think that, you know, that's all we're focused on, because it's definitely not. It just so happens that these numerical values that the Boone and Crockett system and Pope and Young have given to deer allows us to accurately describe and give a size estimate of deer from a voice and a digital platform. So just so everybody can hear that out there, that's why we are using numbers and we're using size and scores so consistently, is we're using it to describe deer so you all can have a better idea of what they look like and the size that we're talking about without actually being able to show a picture.
Yep, I couldn't have put it better myself, man. It's some guys, you know, you've got all sorts of different kind of style hunters. Yep. You got your guys who are just there for meat. You got your guys who are just there to trophy hunt, just there for big antlers. And then you got your guys who are really out there just trying to figure out whatever deer is going to be the hardest to get on to. That's the one we want to get on. Mm-hmm. And I think me and you fall in that category of really looking for these mature, older bucks that have been around the block. They know what they're doing.
Yep.
So it's really just a big challenge. You know, I think me and you both go out and hunt all the time, and we constantly have small bucks, we have does, we have different sized deer coming through, but these bigger, more mature bucks, they're smart. And yeah, I think that challenge is really what we're after and whenever we're hunting. And so, like you said, it's really not about the antlers. You know, some of these bigger, mature deer, that means that they're going to have bigger antlers, but yep, that's not necessarily always true. I think you put it perfectly.
Awesome. Well, all right, last question for the day, and this is a hypothetical. This is a 100% hypothetical question, but I've been curious about this because I've been debating similar situations in my mind. Okay, you ready for this?
Sure, let's see.
Okay, so the big giant deer, I don't know if you named it, the one that was there opening day kind of for the first couple of weeks of the season for you last year, the one with the big kicker.
Yep.
Okay, say opening day this year, right? He comes out, the hammer from last December comes out.
Oh my gosh.
Which deer are you taking? They're both within bow range. The size of them is almost indistinguishable. They're different looking deer, but their sizes are about the same. They're definitely both very mature, very old. Which deer are you taking? Are you taking the early season deer from last year, or are you going after late season hammer?
Man, I'm going to be honest. I hadn't really thought of that scenario, but you put me on the spot. So if I'm going to answer one, I'm going to have to say probably the late season buck.
Yep.
So he is just a monster. He's a monster, but also he's an old deer.
Very old.
Off the pictures I've got, he's old school. He's been around a long time. Whereas that other buck, the early season buck, he is also ridiculously big.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting older, but I don't think he quite has the age that late season buck has.
Nah.
And so I think it'd really be cool to just go after that older buck. But, man, I'll tell you what, if I got two arrows with me, I'm going to try a bow.
I hear you on that. I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying. I mean, that old deer that was there at the end of the season last year, that hammer in December, he was, I mean, obviously massive. But he was an ancient deer. That dude had been around the block, and he had survived, I'd say, at least six or at least seven rifle seasons in a very heavily hunted area. So that dude knew what he was doing, whereas that deer in the early season, while being pretty doggone close to the same size, I think that dude was in his prime. That dude was old, but he was still cooking.
Yep, I completely agree, man. Golly, they're both just spectacular bucks, and I just really hope that even one of them will come back around. But I think if I had to choose between the two, I'd go with that late season old brute, man. I think he's the one of the chase after.
Oh, yeah. Well, Johnny, once again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. As always, this is an absolute blast because it's basically just the phone calls that we have on like almost a nightly basis about deer, but we're actually able to record it. So it works out very conveniently and perfectly. But, you know, I mean, we got 3 weeks left, and I am excited to get you back on the podcast here in the next week or so before opening day and kind of hear the developments and see how your property is panning out, because I got that feeling that I know within the next week or so you're going to have one of those tanks show up.
Man, I'm really hoping so. Thank you so much for having me on, man. Like you said, this is one of our regular, almost daily talks. It's really cool to be able to put this on a podcast. I really hope that people are kind of looking for a platform in which people just have regular conversations.
Yep.
You know, I think something a little less formal, a little more normal is just what people are really looking for. And it's what I enjoy. It's what you enjoy. And that's really what matters here. So, man, thank you a ton for having me on. I look forward to the next one.
For sure, dude. It is always a blast. And we will catch you on the next one.
Sounds like a plan, man. Thank you, Harrison.
Yeah, buddy. We'll see you.
Hey, man.
Alrighty, everybody, as always, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation with Johnny Grimes as much as I enjoyed talking to him on today's episode. It's always a blast when you can have a like-minded individual and a good close friend, one of my closest friends, to just kind of talk to and spitball ideas back and forth, share stories, and recap what has been going on. So as we get closer to deer season, like we said in today's episode, we are inside of 3 weeks from our opening day here. So you can start to expect more than one podcast per week, as we're going to be trying to drop at least two podcasts per week from now through the end of deer season, just to kind of keep up with all of the information, the stories, and the sightings that we are going to be having here as we get closer to opening day. So as always, if you enjoyed what you listened to here today, please make sure to subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you are listening on, and be sure to check us out on Instagram at NextGen Whitetails. That is NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. And as always, everybody, thank you for being a part of the Next Gen. We'll catch you on the next one.